Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased to have an opportunity to visit with you and with all of those who will be hearing this recording upon this most important topic of relationships and agreements, mm-hmm. or as we like to refer to it, as co-creating. Those of you who are in physical form at this time have come forth into a dimension where there are many others, because you are wanting to understand how to be co-creator. All of you, without exception, are creator of your experience. While few understand it, it is so. Without exception, that which you are experiencing in your life experience is that which you are inviting or attracting through thought. And as co-creators, it is the same. As you are interacting one with another, you are literally inviting those with whom you interact. And even beyond that, you are inviting from them that which you are receiving from them through your thought. It is our wanting that as we are discussing here upon this topic, that all who are hearing and all who are wanting to understand how to be in deliberate control of their life experience may find the answers here. Here we will discuss how it is that you are individual creator, and then we will broaden it to help you to understand how you are co-creators. This topic is exciting to us. For as we interact with those of you who are in physical form, we see that your co-creating is that which brings you your most trouble. And it is also our knowing that it is that which brings you your most pleasure. It is our desire that as you hear these words, you will then know the process by which you can have joy from your co-creating rather than pain. And so here we will begin with the process. There is a most powerful law that is at the root of all that you receive, and it is the law of attraction. That law says that that which is likened to itself is drawn. And it means exactly that. As you give thought to something, you literally attract the subject of that thought into your experience. In the early subtle stages of the thought, there is not so much attraction power. But as you stay focused upon it, your attraction power is greater and greater. The thought becomes greater and greater. And it is interesting to note that the emotion that you feel mm-hmm. as you are giving thought to the thought becomes greater and greater as well. The emotion that you feel goes beyond this physical experience, and that is a surprise to most beings. For many believe that the emotion that they feel, that the way that they feel, is all just another part of the physical experience in which they are living. We are wanting you to understand that that emotion, while you recognize it or receive it here in this physical place, is transmitted or offered from the inner world. It is actually communication being offered to you from your inner being. Most physical beings are not aware of their inner being. Oh, they understand or believe that there was something before this life experience, and many of them believe or hope that there will be something after this physical experience. But very few understand that while they are here in these physical bodies, that they are simultaneously existing in an inner dimension. Mm-hmm. And that inner dimension, that inner being, communicates with them. Now, there are all forms of communication, but emotion is a form of communication that all physical beings experience. It is guidance. It is your guidance system offered to you from a broader, wiser, certainly older you, the part of you that defies physical birth and death, the part of you that is eternal, the part of you that is evolving from broader perspective mm-hmm. as you are evolving here in this very short physical life experience. Now, as you give thought to something that is in harmony with your intentions, your inner being offers you positive emotion. As you give thought to something that is not in harmony with your intentions, your inner being offers you negative emotion. There are really only two emotions. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things as you have come to associate them with different aspects of your physical experience. But if you will remember that there are only two, and that the one that feels positive, that feeling of love or joy or excitement, enthusiasm, anticipation, that good feeling, that positive emotion, is your inner being helping you to understand that you are in harmony in this moment. And when you feel fear or doubt or anger or discomfort, that negative emotion, you understand that your inner being is telling you that you are near something that is not in harmony. Then you will recognize and be able to effectively utilize this wondrous guidance system. You made this agreement even before your physical birth, and we are here to remind you of it and to assist you in accessing it. As we come forth from our non-physical dimension, we do so to offer those laws to assist in enhancing your physical life experience. It is not our intent to lead you from what you are doing here to take you off into some non-physical dimension. We are here to assist you in understanding the laws that are multidimensional, the laws that are eternal, that you may have a life experience that is more satisfying. Satisfying in that you will be then able to do what you have come here to do. What you have come here to do in this life experience is to create. All of you are doing that, by the way. There is not one who is not the creator of his life experience. Most, however, because they do not understand the laws, because they do not understand their reason for being here, because they do not understand and do not communicate with their broader being, do not create intentionally. They are doing it nevertheless, but not on purpose. We call that creation by default. The purpose of our interacting, and indeed the purpose of this recording, is to assist the listener in understanding how to be the deliberate creator of his life experience. And that includes not only the creating that he does individually, but the creating that he does in concert with others that he comes into agreement with. You are co-creators in many different relationships. Anytime you are interacting with another, whether it is one single other or many others, even in interacting as beings upon your earth as a whole, you are co-creators. And so here we are wanting to assist you in understanding how to be more deliberate and therefore more effective and therefore more pleased with the results.
Great.
Deliberate creation involves two basic processes. One is the process of deliberately setting forth your intentions, and the other is the process of paying attention to the way that you feel so that you will know if you are remaining in harmony with those intentions. One without the other is not as effective. In other words, you can make many decisions about what you want and not pay attention to how you feel, not then knowing that you are moving away from what you want. Or you can be very sensitive to the way that you feel but never make decisions about what you want. And neither of those examples is the best. What is best is to make more decisions in every day about what you are wanting to be or to do or to have, and then to be sensitive to the way that you feel so that you will know if you are moving closer or further from those decisions. It is a very easy, very simple process. And once you understand it, once you understand it in even one small area of your life experience, then you will be able to broaden it so that it is understood in all areas of your life experience. Once you understand it as individual, then you will be able to broaden it as you are creating with others in relationships and in agreements. We've mentioned law of attraction and how if you are giving thought to a negative thought, that by law of attraction, more negative thoughts will be delivered unto you, until eventually that negative thought can become very large and very powerful, with great attracting power. In like manner, you yourselves as beings are like magnets with great power of attraction. A simple way of stating it is that the way that you feel is your point of attraction. When you feel lonely, you cannot attract companionship. It defies law. Not in that moment of loneliness. Mm-hmm. When you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. It defies law. When you feel sick, you cannot attract health. It defies law. And so the point is to bring yourself to a state of feeling the way you want to be, and then by that powerful law of attracting, you will attract it into your experience. Mm-hmm. So many become depressed or defeated and then wonder why things cannot improve. Things will only move in the direction of your thoughts. And so if you are thinking in terms of poverty or illness or things that depress you, you will find yourself attracting more and more and more of that. Mm-hmm. The key to all of this deliberate creating is to bring yourself to a happy state and then hold your thoughts and your words and your actions in that place so that you may remain happy. That sometimes is not as easily done as it is said, and it is often easier to do when you are alone than when you are involved with others. For sometimes, no matter how happy you are, when you are surrounded by those who are not happy, it is difficult for you to find your happy balance. But that is the whole point of this recording, to assist you in understanding the value of that happy state of well-being, and then to assist you in finding a way to achieve it, so that you may always be the attractor of more of that which you want, rather than the more of that which you do not want. We have heard it said in your physical environment, the better it gets, the better it gets, or the worse it gets, the worse it gets. And that is your discovery of law of attraction. So it seems. You say birds of a feather come together, and we say, again, it is the law of attraction at work. What we are wanting to assist you in understanding is that you may attract whatever it is that you want into your experience, but first you must decide what it is that you want, and then you must use the power of your mind to stay focused upon what you want. Mm-hmm. And whether you are an individual attracting what you want, or whether you are interacting in concert with others as co-creators, it is essential that you know what you want and that you remain focused upon it. Now, we are not encouraging you to monitor your thoughts, and that would be a great deal of difficulty for you. For as you are monitoring your thoughts, you would not be as free to think them. And since your thoughts are your creative process, hindrance in thinking would be hindrance in creating. Instead of monitoring thought, we are encouraging a monitoring of the way that you feel. And as long as you feel good, you are attracting that which you want. And whenever you are feeling bad or that negative emotion, guilty, lonely, angry, fearful, doubtful, you are attracting what you are not want. A sensitivity to the way that you feel will serve you very well. Most have a difficult time hearing these words from us in the beginning, because they are not trusting or appreciating themselves very much. And when we say your guidance system comes forth from within you, since they are not feeling very good for the most part about themselves, then they do not trust that which comes forth from within them. But we must say it again, that that which comes forth from within you is your guidance. Mm-hmm. And you must trust it. In fact, there is nothing outside of you that you may trust, for nothing outside of you understands all that you've intended as you have come forth into this experience. Nothing outside of you understands that which you are wanting in this moment. Nothing outside of you understands that which you are living here and now. Nothing outside of you understands the beliefs that you hold. Nothing outside of you can come anywhere close to guiding you as effectively as that feeling that comes forth from within you. And so as you come to set forth your thoughts about what you want and then pay attention to the way that you feel, you will eventually become a being that will know the appropriateness of every thought, word, and action in every moment of your life experience. And once you have reached that place, you will be what we refer to as a blended being. Mm-hmm. That being who is indeed here in this physical body, mm-hmm. but who is experiencing the benefit of that greater, broader, wiser, certainly older perspective, you see. Mm-hmm. Here is the process. I want a new red car. You have set forth the beginning of the creation of that red car. And unless you do something to stop it, that red car is now on its way to you. Ordinarily, what happens is you stifle it at birth. You say, I want a new red car, but it is too expensive. And so you, in a sense, create it and uncreate mm-hmm. it all at the same time. But sometimes you say, I want a new red car, and you think about it with such detail that you actually feel excited about it. Now, we will tell you that when you have given something so much thought that you bring forth positive, passionate emotion, now you have accessed the power of the universe, and your new red car will come to you much more quickly. Again, unless you do something to stop it, unless tomorrow, when you are telling your mother about it, she reminds you that you have never had a new car, or that new cars are very expensive, or that the insurance is much higher on new cars. As you allow others to stimulate your thinking to the position that you bring forth doubt or discouragement within yourself, you have, in a sense, stopped, or at least slowed, the process of your new red car coming toward you. Our point in this is that as long as you are thinking about your red car and feeling good about it, it is coming. When you begin thinking about your red car and feeling bad about it, you have stopped it or slowed it. A sensitivity to the way that you feel helps you know your progress regarding the subject of your thought at any time. We call negative emotion a sort of warning bell. Mm-hmm. In other words, we are not encouraging you to do away with negative emotion, for indeed it is an essential part of your guidance system. That is how you know you are miscreating. Negative emotion does not exist unless you are miscreating. Miscreating meaning pushing away what you want or attracting something you do not want. Our encouragement as individual creator is this. Every morning when you begin your day, set forth the intention of looking for things that you want everywhere. Things that you like, things that you want to be, things that you would like to do, things that you would like to have. And in this search for that data, you will bring forth much pleasure into your experience. For as you see things that you like to see, your inner being will offer positive emotion. And you will find yourself spiraling upward, attracting more and more and more and more of the things that you are liking, you see. We see much opposite of that. We see many of you looking for things that you do not like. And as you do that, by law of attraction, you attract them as well. And so you have heard the process. Give thought to what you want, and it will be an ever-changing thing. And then be sensitive to the way that you are feeling, in order to know whether you are moving toward or away from these things that you want. As you are sensitive to the way that you feel, your guidance system will let you know in any moment. And the wonderful thing about your guidance system is that it works in the moment, and it will assist you in stopping your miscreating in the early, subtle stages when it is easy to stop. You see, by law of attraction, if you are focused upon something that you do not like, and you are not aware of the small negative emotion that comes forth, and you remain focused upon that negative thought, by law of attraction, you will attract more and more. You will reach into your past. You will begin talking to your friends. You will begin reading books about it, until very soon you will have a very large negative emotion and a very large negative point of attraction. Mm-hmm. In short, your warning bells are ringing, saying to you, in this moment, your thought, or your word, or your action, and you know which it is not in harmony with your intent. And so you have only to pause for a moment and remind yourself what it is that you do want. And as you change the thought, that negative emotion will immediately subside, and so will the attraction of that which you do not want. That is the process for deliberate creating, giving thought to what you are wanting, expecting it to be, and then it will be. There are two parts of that equation, giving thought on the one hand, with emotion or positive, passionate emotion, and on the other hand, the believing or the expecting or the allowing of it into your experience. You create it in thought first, and then through your expectancy or belief, you allow it into your experience, you see. As you are interacting with others, entering into co-creation or agreements, the process is much the same. It is more complicated because there are more of you involved. Mm-hmm. But the basic process is the same of coming together in thought about what is wanted and then paying attention to your warning bells every step along the way so that you know when or if something is going wrong or when or if something is going right. We are wanting to broaden your understanding of this business of creating here. For while we have offered to you the law and the process in general terms, here we are wanting to offer you a more explicit process for deliberate creating. So many of you, as you are in your physical bodies, are wondering why you are here. What is the purpose of my life experience, you say? And we are about to tell you. And so if it is important to you, we encourage you to sit down and write these words. For we are about to tell you why you are here. You have come forth into this physical body, into this physical dimension, because you know you are creator and you are wanting to express that in physical dimension. You are wanting to understand more clearly how it is you create. Your work here in this physical dimension is to define or decide or discern what it is you want at any point in time, and then by the power of your will or your ability to focus upon that which you want, attract it to you. That which you think in this dimension that brings forth no emotion does not access the power of the universe. In other words, when you are thinking a thought, but you are not particularly excited about it or emotional about it, your thoughts do not have great attracting power. You are sort of banging it out in the physical. But when you give thought that brings forth great emotion, now you have accessed the power of the universe. And friends, you have come forth into this physical place intending to give thought with your physical thinking mechanism in concert with your inner being, which applies or adds unto the emotion. Your inner being offers the emotion only when you have given clear, detailed thought. When you are explicit in your thought, then the emotion comes forth. And so your work is to sift through the data of your environment until you are clear about what you want. And with that clarity, your inner being will offer the emotion which will bring it to you. That is as simply as we can state it. And so your work, from our perspective, is to look around, attracting data, and then go to a sort of workshop where you merge the data into your picture of your life experience. If you could see yourselves like a chef in a well-stocked kitchen where there are all ingredients imaginable in abundant proportion, and your work is to put those ingredients into different combinations for the creation of whatever you want. That is the way we see you. And so our encouragement to you is to wake up every morning intending that as you move through your day, you will look everywhere for things that you want. In other words, to collect the data. And then once a day, go to a place where you will not be interrupted by others, where you can begin to daydream or merge those pieces of data into a picture of what you want. Now, the beauty of that is that no matter how you feel about what is, you will be able to create a picture of what you want that is so explicit that that will then be your point of attraction. We see you in that workshop many times in a day, but most often you are in a negative workshop. For example, we see you sitting at your desk to pay your bills, and the stack of bills is sometimes taller than your stack of money. And as you are subtracting your balance in your checkbook, you are filled with negative emotion as you have the feeling there is not enough money for all of the things that I need, and certainly not for the things that I want. And you say, in great depression or in great disgust or even in anger, I need more money. Things are very hard.
Mm-hmm.
You are in a negative workshop. You are giving thought and you are feeling great emotion. Now, whether it is positive emotion or negative emotion, you are in a workshop. Positive emotion means you are in a workshop creating what you want. Negative emotion means you are in a workshop creating what you do not want. And so what we are suggesting is that you intentionally go to a place where you intentionally combine the data that you have been collecting of things that you want, things that you like, into an image of life experience that will attract to you the subject of your workshop.
Mm-hmm.
This process will serve you very well. And it is our knowing that if you were willing to spend 30 days letting your dominant intent in every day be the attracting of things that you like. In other words, go to the stores where the things you like are. Go to the places where the automobiles are that you would like to drive. Drive through the countryside to see the places you would like to live. Watch those who are famous, who are prosperous. Watch those who have the personality you seek. Watch those who have the health and vitality that you seek. Watch those who look and walk and feel the way you would like to look and walk and feel. Give your attention, let your dominant intent be to see things that you want. For then and only then will you have sufficient data to work on in your workshop. What surrounds you is negative primarily. But if you have set forth the intent to solicit forth that which pleases you, you will become a selective sifter, and you will not notice so much that which displeases you, while you will notice that which pleases you. And then your workshop sessions will be very productive. In 30 days, you will have a new life. All things in your experience, whether it is the condition of your financial, whether it is the condition of your physical, whether it is the condition of your relationships, no matter what it is, everything in your life experience can be greatly improved in 30 days if you will exercise this process we have just offered. If you have made statement of what you want and you find yourself thinking in opposition to it, your warning bell will ring. And while you might not notice the thought, you will certainly notice the way you feel. And as you notice the way you feel, ask yourself what has brought forth that feeling, and you will be able to pinpoint immediately what is wrong. Now you have heard the process regarding individual creating. On the remainder of this cassette, we will broaden it to your co-creating with others, to your relationships, to your agreements, and we will help you to understand that it is not necessary for you to tolerate those things that you do not want for the sake of getting something that you do want. If you have spent sufficient time in your workshop, you will attract all things that are in harmony with your current wanting. As we are beginning the section upon co-creating or relationships and agreements, we are wanting to give our definition of relationships, co-creating, and agreements. For there is some misunderstanding about what it means. For most, interacting with others in harmony means getting them to do what you want them to do. It seems that that is the mindset of much of your world, wanting to get the others to think like or be like or do like they would prefer doing. And as that is your intent, whether it is in individual creating or whether it is in the organization of your world, you will find yourself not being successful with it, for it defies law. You are not here to get others to be or do or have what you do. There is not one thing that is right while all other things are wrong. As we interact with you, we come forth to offer you assistance in understanding the laws that you may effectively create whatever it is that you are wanting. But it is important as you are entering into this business of co-creating to understand how it works best. Uh-huh. As in the relationship of two who are coming together in marriage. If one believes that agreement is to get the other one to agree with what he wants to do, it is possible that he may be able to find someone who wants harmony so much that the other is willing to go along with whatever the dominant one wants. But that falls far short from our idea of agreement or co-creating. Mm-hmm. It is not simply being so strong that the other succumbs. Agreeing or relationships, from our perspective, are literally co-creating. We stated earlier on this recording that unless you have been able to visualize it clearly in your mind first, it will not be part of your experience, and so it is with co-creating. The individuals involved must be able to visualize the relationship, and through continuing communication, they will help one another to see what they individually see. But the real co-creating begins when all members of the agreement come together to discuss or literally form through images and words their picture of what they are wanting this agreement, this partnership, this relationship, this co-creating to be. All who are involved must participate. Otherwise, they do not feel a part of the agreement. They feel as if they are a puppet acting out someone else's desires, and for the most part, they are. As we discuss agreements or relationships with most individuals, it is much after the fact. In other words, mm-hmm. the relationship has already fallen apart. There is already much negative emotion involved before they notice that something is wrong. We will be discussing two types of agreements. Those that have never been clearly established in the beginning and are now in a great mess that you are trying to work your way out of. Mm-hmm. And those that you have not yet formed, that you'll be attracting now from your clear wanting. We are aware that you have organized some questions for us. And we are aware that there are many more questions than there is time for them upon this short recording. We will hear your questions as you have segmented them into groups. Mm-hmm. We will discuss each group sufficiently. And we will encourage the listener that if they have specific questions regarding any of these topics, that they submit them to you. And we will prepare individual recordings upon relationships such as husband-wife, relationships such as parent-child, relationships such as business associates. Mm-hmm. This recording will give you a general overview. And certainly the process for the attracting or the reorganization of any relationship. We are ready to hear from you.
Thank you. First, you spoke in terms of an agreement being what I would call a common agreement. In other words, not one person saying this is what I want us all to want. But it's since we're all different, there's not much chance of us all wanting the same thing that comes together.
Correct.
At any long period of time, at any rate. So
it
how
would be a very boring place if that were the case.
So how does a person move forward without just tolerating that difference in another person so that they don't feel that pain of having to put up with something that they're not wanting there to get what they do want?
The pain or the negative emotion comes forth only because of your attention to something. And so you simply withdraw your attention from that which you do not like by putting it upon something that you do like, and your tension or pain will go away.
But how does a person learn to allow those things that are uncomfortable to them, even though it's occurring over in the other person's life? In other words, since we are all connected.
You learn it by doing it. In other words, in time, once hearing these principles and laws as we've offered them, you will come to understand that no matter how much of your attention you give to something, it does not make it go away, but it makes it greater. By law of attraction, the thought that you add to it not only enhances through your power of influence the negativity in the other one's life, but very often brings it into your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you will look around you and continually make the correlation between what you are thinking and speaking and what you are getting,
mm-hmm.
then you will come to understand that you must not think or speak of what you do not want, for it is your way of inviting it into your experience.
Right.
You will also come to see that when you give thought to what you want, you will feel good. When you give thought to what you do not want, you will feel bad. And so you have a choice to make. If you feel bad, you must remove your thought from whatever you thought which brought forth that bad feeling.
You speak often of the law of allowing. How would that relate to this subject matter that we're discussing in this moment?
It is what you are here wanting most to understand. In other words, until you understand law of attraction, you will not understand the law of deliberate creating. In other words, until you understand how it is that thoughts are attracted to one another that are similar, and that people are attracted to one another who are giving thought to similar things, you will have no control of your life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Until you understand law of attraction, you will not understand how the law of deliberate creating works. And until you understand how the law of deliberate creating works, you will not be able to understand the great law of allowing. That law says, I am that which I am, while I am willing to allow all others to be that which they choose to be. And not in a tolerant sense. In other words, if I see someone doing something that I do not like, but I allow them to do it. In other words, I do not restrain them. I do not make them stop. I do not control them. But I still feel the negative emotion from seeing them do it. Then I am still miscreating.
Mm-hmm.
I must reach the state where I am willing to allow them without feeling the negative emotion. And that will only come when I come to understand that my place is not to get the others to do what I want them to do. My place is to decide what I want, and by law of attraction and law of deliberate creating, to get it. The mistake that most of you make is that you think that you are here to make this world into one place. The big argument is, what kind of place should it be?
Mm-hmm.
And what we are wanting you to understand is that you have as many different worlds here as you do perspectives of it. And your work here is not to get them all to be or do or think or have as you do. Your work here is to decide what you want and by the laws to attract it to you, while you allow the others to get what they want by the same law.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the power of influence or the power of control over one another within our relationships. How much power do we have, number one? And number two, how can a person not be influenced away from the thing that they're particularly wanting by someone else who may be wanting them to want something else?
You've asked many questions within one question. We are appreciating very much your notice of the difference between influence and control, for they are two different things. In other words, there may be the parent who lays down the rules,
mm-hmm.
and makes the consequence to breaking the rules so powerful that no one dare break the rules. That is control.
Mm-hmm.
There is also the parent that sits together with all members of the family and says, let us together create an image of what life would be like together under the most pleasant of circumstances, with each one contributing their idea of what would be a good thing, wanting some order, wanting everyone to have their private place, wanting everyone to be respectful of the others in the places that are not private but that are shared by all, with everyone contributing their ideas of how this harmonious family setting could come about. And then everyone being sensitive to their own warning bells to know if they are individually violating the agreement that has been set forth by all.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference between control and influence. Influence is you're visualizing clearly what you think is a good idea, and then using your words to effectively communicate to the others to the point that they feel excited about what you have offered.
Mm-hmm.
That is effective influence.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite the opposite of control.
Yes.
Whether they like it or not, they still must do it. Or you, the bigger one, will beat up on them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
There are two major hindrances to the deliberate creating in your life experience. One is influence of others who want something different.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is influence of your own old habits.
Mm-hmm.
In order to avoid those hindrances from interfering with your creating of what you now want, you must give more thought to what you do want and do it more often. In other words, as you give thought to 10 years from now, you begin paving a roadway. As you give thought to 5 years from now, you begin pre-paving that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning and you have an appointment at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you give thought to what you are wanting to accomplish at that 3 o'clock appointment, you pre-pave it so that when 3 o'clock gets here, it is more ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into the room, if you will pause for a moment and remember what is most important to you, then the appropriate words will come forth from you, and you will not be so likely to be swept up by the intent or the confusion of the other.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Let's discuss a little bit in the areas of families, as far as, say, parents and children are concerned, those relationships. How can independent, individualistic, learning, growing thinkers exist in harmony in family relationships in which the others are wanting a sameness of thoughts and words and actions? In other words, they're not wanting to see change or new thought. And also, would you elaborate a little more on a way in which family members could harmoniously share in the responsibilities of the, what I'll call, common home maintenance, and in the general flow of the activities of the family, and still maintain their individual freedoms?
Indeed. You've hit upon what brings forth much of the feeling of disharmony and discontent.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot control or create in the experience of another. In other words, while you are clear about your desire for harmony, if you're interacting with another who is not clear about their desire for harmony, then you run into some trouble. But much of that trouble could be avoided if you were not so much wanting all of them to see your point of view or to understand what it is that you want. In other words, it is your pointing out that you are wanting to grow while they are standing still that causes as much of the friction as them saying, we are happy as we are, why can you not be?
Mm-hmm.
In part, it is the insistence of wanting the others to understand and accept you instead of understanding and accepting yourself. It hinges from your seeking so much approval from those who have so many different perspectives. When your dominant intent is to find your own approval, then you will find more satisfaction in all that you do. You will discover that if there is only one other you are trying to please, you might be able to do it if you are very clever. But if there are two or three or a town full or a nation full or a world full, then you have great difficulty in being all things that all of them want you to be. And as you are trying to please all of them, you find that you are actually pleasing none of them. If you will look into that situation, looking for things that you like to see, you will find positive emotion within you, for your attention will only be upon what you are wanting to see. And if they have not yet learned to do that, if they are looking at you and seeing what they do not want to see, then they will receive negative emotion. You must not feel a necessity to change every time someone feels a negative emotion when they look at you, because it is not that you have done something wrong, it is that they have not yet discovered how to keep themselves from feeling negative emotion. The world will not change to keep you from having negative emotion. You must stop looking at things that bring forth the negative emotion.
Good.
Regarding the sharing of responsibility in home maintenance and still maintaining individual freedom, it is important to discuss it from broader context. You hold many intentions at any point in time. You rarely are wanting only one thing at one time. The things that you want, however, are not all equal in importance or value to you. And they do not all remain of same importance or value as you are bringing new intentions in while you are releasing old intentions. And so it is a continual process of evaluating what is most important to you as you factor in your ever-changing parade of new intentions. What will bring greatest harmony to any relationship is the attention to the desire for harmony. In other words, no matter what has gone wrong, if only one recognizes that harmony is what is wanted and that it is missing, and begins to focus upon the desire for harmony, and then utilizes effective words of communication to assist the others in remembering how important the harmony is, then and only then can harmony be established. If there is even one who says, "I don't care, I do not want harmony, all that is important is what I want," then we say you have no place in this co-creating. When you are clear about what you want, you are a good individual creator. But unless you are willing to seek harmony with others, you will never be a good co-creator.
Okay.
In some cases, the one or the many who are not seeking the harmony will find themselves not part of this experience anymore. As you release them from your thought, you will release them from your experience. And so you say, "But Abraham, it is my child. It is my child that is not wanting harmony. Whatever will I do? I cannot throw him out into the cold." And we say, indeed, you may not feel as if you can release him from your experience in terms of throwing him out of your house, but you can release him from much of your experience by not giving so much attention to the disharmony in your thought. In short, ignore it. And as you do not give your attention to it, much of it will go away. The law of attraction is very powerful. As your child does something you do not want, and you continue to harp upon what you are not wanting the child to do, you may attract more of it.
Thank you. Another area, the area of the relationships between mates and lovers. When persons are in a relationship that formerly was harmonious, find that their interests have now changed to positions of, let's say, disagreement, how can they still maintain harmony while still maintaining opposing beliefs or opposing wants?
Good. Now this will get to the heart of it.
Okay.
The reason that the relationship was harmonious or good in the beginning is because each were focused upon what they were wanting to see. The reason that the relationship is now deteriorating is because one, or usually both, or all, are focusing upon what they are not wanting to see. It is the attention to what is not wanted that brings forth the great negative emotion about it. In order to restore the relationship, it is a simple process. It is a matter of looking again for what you are wanting to see.
Just that.
Indeed.
I want to go a little further in that same kind of relationship. When one party in a relationship, of, let's call it either mates or lovers, however you want to term it, is wanting to end that relationship, but the other party to the relationship is wanting very much for it to continue, what would you suggest as to the resolution for each of them?
We would encourage the one who is wanting the relationship to spend some time in that workshop that we talked about, envisioning the perfect relationship. In doing so, that one will begin to attract the perfect relationship. It may be a new relationship. It may be attracting perfection from the one that already exists. But in either case, the notice of what is not wanted is bringing more of what is not wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Giving attention to what is wanted will restore the relationship. But perhaps it has gone too far. Perhaps it has gone so far that one says, I've had enough. I am no longer wanting to be here. The other cannot hold under any condition anyway. And so we would encourage a release of all of the negative, with a maintenance of the thoughts toward what is wanted. And it is our knowing that what is wanted will soon be again in the lives of each.
Well, let me follow up in that same direction in the area of finding that perfect person to be with, to have a relationship with. I want to ask you a couple of points. One, what do you see as the term that we use as a soulmate? What does that mean to you? And number two, do you have any recommendations for a specific process for finding that ideal mate, or is there an ideal mate?
The process for finding what you would consider to be the ideal mate, or the mate that would satisfy all of your intentions, is simply to visualize clearly what it is that you think is ideal. It comes back again to the two processes that we encouraged: looking around you for data, in other words, noticing others in relationships and picking out the parts that you like. And when you have selected one that looks the way you would like them to look and acts the way you would like them to act, then go into your workshop and envision yourself interacting with that one. See yourselves touching, talking, laughing, living. And as you envision it in your mind, you will begin that powerful attracting. A soulmate is becoming a very popular and romantic term used by physical man to identify a partner that is of supreme satisfaction. In other words, those soulmates make the best of lovers. At least that is what we are hearing from man today. We'll tell you from our perspective what that is.
Good.
It may not be easy for you to understand it, for we will be speaking from a perspective that you do not currently hold. Before you entered into these physical bodies, that part of you that lives on forever made the decision for you to emerge. If that part of you, that non-physical part of you, made the decision to emerge into not one but two, or even more, physical beings, then those physical beings that have emerged from same inner being would be soulmates one to another. We do not use the term soulmate. We've picked it up from you. Sure. We would call you counterparts.
Another area. In the area of relationships in which there are changes of major intents. For instance, since we are all changing, then what do you see as the resolution when one person is wanting to maintain the original terms of an agreement and another party to the agreement has new intentions and is now uncomfortable with those original terms?
A continuing daily dialogue will prevent that from happening.
Hmm.
It is only when you go for long spans of time without communicating that one has the feeling that there has been radical change in the original agreement. Agreements are not meant to remain constant. They are meant to be changing and growing, as are the participants within the agreement. And any time you try to hold yourself stagnant, you will experience negative emotion. Some seek more growth than others, so some are more willing to remain stagnant, while some cannot stand it.
Well, that leads us very directly into the area of business relationships. Is there any wisdom in entering into a business relationship that has some discomfort involved, although it contains possibilities of receiving much that is wanted?
If you are a being who has the ability to focus upon what you are liking, while you take your attention from what you are not liking, you could be comfortable in such an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It is the focus upon what is not wanted that brings forth the negative emotion, and it is also that which brings forth more of what is not wanted. If the agreement has been discussed and all things that are wanted by all participants have been adequately discussed and brought forth, it is possible to enter into agreements that will be long-standing, as long as there is the understanding that all must be mutually happy as it moves forward. The reason that most agreements of business nature do not work is because they are not set out with proper premise to begin with. Most agreements of a business nature are established to protect one or the other or all from the whimsical change of intent of the other.
Right.
Most of them are established to lock you in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say most of them are not effective because you are not beings who are happy being locked in. You are seekers of freedom. Often, one is wanting to control you, to limit your future options. And we say, if that is your sensing, do not enter into the agreement. So many of you think you live in a world that is either or. You think you must give up something that you do want in order to receive something else that you do want. And we tell you that if you will spend adequate time collecting data so that you know what you want,
mm-hmm.
and then you will spend adequate time in your workshop envisioning it, that you may have it all.
Hmm. If you were going into a relationship, a partnership, business partnership, let's say, would you think it'd be wiser to look for a partner who had more ability than they had, let's say, than compatibility, or would you prefer the more compatibility over their abilities or skills?
We would encourage you to attract a harmonious, compatible, talented being. You may have it all.
Have it all.
You do not need to attract one or the other.
Yeah, that's really it. In the area of government, who do you feel among us is the best qualified to set the standards and terms and conditions of life for the rest of us?
There truly is not one who has the broadness of perspective to speak for all. You have organized representatives, and that process is better than in many other places. But for the most part, it is very difficult for any one to speak clearly the perspective of any other.
So how would you envision the perfect form of government for us here?
A government that allows you freedom to be or do or have as you want. And that will come only when there is an understanding of how you're getting what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You see, your government, for the most part, is one of rules and regulations primarily established to protect one of you from the other of you.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to understand that you invite through thought, then you will not feel so much need for all of that restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And then your government can be established as it was begun, more to offer order rather than restriction or control.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. In the area of the relationships with animals, what do you see as what I'll call a natural relationship between man and animals, birds, insects, and plants, and so on?
all of you are here by your wanting to enjoy this wondrous earth. You are not here with same intent in all regards. While you are all wanting joy, your animals are not here with same intent as the physical man.
Go ahead.
The animals are here as enhancement of your life experience.
Now, do we have influence in that relationship between us and the other living things on Earth, or do we only have control over them?
Control never proves to be very satisfying for either party, not the one controlling or not the one being controlled. And you have chosen a dimension where you are sharing it with other physical beings, the human beings or man, mm-hmm. and the animals, because you are wanting to understand more clearly your power of influence.
Mm-hmm.
You have great power of influence with all others when you are clear about what is important to you. You will find animals responding very clearly to you when you are clear about what is important to you. They are very sensitive beings. They are much closer to their inner being than most physical beings. And it is primarily because they are not so developed with their conscious thinking apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
Their instincts, as you say, are greater. Their sensing is greater.
Mm.
Now, as man interacts with animal, the animal senses if what man feels or means and what man says and does are in harmony. And so when you are interacting with an animal, this great sensing being, if you are already decided about what you want, and now your actions and words are in harmony with that decision, then your influence with the animal will be greater, and the experience for both will be satisfying.
Thank you. Now, my final question in this area of general area of relationships would have to do with our relationships with the non-physical beings or intelligences. How would you describe what you see as the optimum relationship between current mankind and the current non-physical intelligence?
We are enjoying very much your question, for while you have not yet figured out how to get along with one another, now you are concerned about how to interact with those who are non-physical. The question is a very important one, and we are not making light of it.
Okay.
We're having a little bit of fun with you, for we are wanting to point out that it is important for you to understand that you live in a physical world because you have wanted to be part of this physical world. And in our interaction with you as non-physical beings, we are not wanting to divert your attention from what you are here to do.
Uh-huh.
You are here seeking companionship, seeking influence, seeking co-creating, seeking physical life experience. But your question has led to something that is very important, and that is this process of blending the physical being that you recognize as you and the inner you, which you may not yet recognize as you. The non-physical world is filled with all of the non-physical counterparts, if you will, of the physical beings. Every man, every woman, every child, every being who is in physical form, even the animals, have a greater, broader, older, wiser inner being that exists in the inner world. And a recognition of the existence of that part of you, and then a seeking of communication with that part of you, will enhance not only this wondrous physical experience that you are living, but will enhance that broader perspective as well.
Abraham, when a person has a job that they enjoy, but they're being harassed by, let's say, an oppressive, overbearing superior, do you recommend that they change jobs, or is there a better solution?
They have already, in part, discovered the solution if they are enjoying this job. In other words, if they are enjoying it, then they are obviously giving their attention to the part that they do like rather than to the overbearing, harassing
mm-hmm.
employer.
Mm-hmm.
whatever you give your attention to, you will attract more of.
Mm-hmm.
If you are interacting with another who is in absolute disharmony with you, you may find yourself in a position where no matter what you do, the other, because his intent is to give you a hard time, will. And in those instances, we would say it is best to be attracted to that which you are in harmony with and release that which is so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But as we say to you, it is not possible for you to find harmony or satisfaction in this place where there is one who is annoying. Then, in the same way, we are saying to you, since this town you live in is not perfect, since there are those things that you do not like, it is not possible for you to have proper creating here, or in this world where there are things that you do not like, it is not possible for you to have effective creating, and that certainly is not the case. Your feeling has to do with your receiving of that stimulation. In other words, it has far less to do with the stimulation that is being offered than it does with the stimulation that you allow yourself to receive.
Mm.
Certainly, it is always easier to walk away from that which you are not in harmony with. But there are other ways.
Mm-hmm.
As we have stated earlier, it is simply taking your attention from that which displeases you and putting it upon that which does.
Good. Thank you. You've said that we can have it all. How does that work when there are others who are also wanting it all? In other words, what keeps our wants from clashing?
We did not say that all of you could have it all at any one time. What we did say is that you have the ability to attract the combination of all things that you want at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this world in which you live is, from our perspective, an absolute perfect balance. You are here in sufficient numbers with sufficient different intentions in order to satisfy what all of you want. It is a matter of being clear about what you want and attracting it forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how can we live and create in the moment and still sign legal agreements that are long-standing?
There are two parts of your question that we are wanting to deal with.
All right.
Certainly, everything that you do is in the moment, for this is where you are thinking. And as you are thinking in this moment, you are creating in this moment.
Right.
However, as you give your thought to the future, in other words, when you are thinking about 10 years from now, or 5 years from now, or one day from now, you are projecting your thought into the future in a sort of pre-paving manner. Therefore, as you are entering into a contract today, as long as you are analyzing and visualizing your future within it, you can make an appropriate decision in this moment that will affect your future. The reason that contracts often are not effective and that you find yourself feeling trapped because your intentions have changed is because you have done not a very good job of anticipating your future.
Mm-hmm.
In part, we agree with that. In other words, it is not easy for you to know every part of your future, for you are receiving new experiences, mm-hmm. new knowing, and with every answer to every question, with every new experience, also comes a new perspective from which you want something different. And so we are not encouragers of signing long-term contracts. We would encourage you to remain more flexible,
mm-hmm.
that you may make your decisions as you are moving along, rather than being locked into something that may no longer fit your current intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Your world, for the most part, does not operate in that way. You say here in your environment, until death do us part, as you enter into marriage contract, and many business partnerships are long-standing. It is important to set forth your intentions into the future if you are about to enter into that kind of agreement.
Mm-hmm. We have It's called group therapy, where people get together that have, let's say, a specific problem that they're trying to work out. But from what I've seen, there often appears to be a continuation of that same pain that the participants are wanting to alleviate instead of it ending. What's the cause of that? Why does the pain keep on?
If there is continuation of pain, there is continuation of discussion or thought upon that which brought forth pain. It is very common, even without group therapy, to have a bad experience and then continue to think about it. You see, an experience that may last only 5 minutes in your lifetime could be done.
Mm-hmm.
You would never need to have bad feeling about it again if you could stop yourself from thinking about it. It is the thought, as well as the word or action, that brings forth negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so group therapy is not effective if it is guiding you toward remembering that which brought you pain in the first place. For as long as you continue to think about it, you will continue to feel the pain. And what is that pain? What is that negative emotion? It is communication from your inner being saying to you that what you are thinking about is not in harmony with what you are wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And that guidance must be understood for the value that it holds, for your inner being is telling you that because it knows that as you think about it, you are attracting more of it to you.
Sure.
And your inner being knows you do not want it, and so it is warning you.
Good, thank you.
Indeed.
Two-part question. How can a person be of the most value to another, someone, let's say, that seems to not be receiving something that they want or need? And what's a sign that we could recognize as a signal that our intent to be of an advantage to another is crossing over that line to being a disadvantage?
Always paying attention to the way that you feel will help you know the appropriateness of any action or any word or any thought in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as long as what you are saying to another is making you feel good,
mm-hmm.
then you are, if your intent is to uplift,
mm-hmm.
uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
However, remember, we have said that you must state your intentions clearly before your guidance from within can be absolutely definitive as to what you are doing in this moment. In other words, if you never take the time to think about wanting to be an uplifter, then your inner being would not warn you very clearly, no matter what you said or did with or to another, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But as you have identified that you want to be uplifter, when you are being, you will feel it. You will feel good. When you are not being, you will feel negative. The greatest advantage that you have to any of those who surround you is by seeing in them that which they are wanting to see in themselves. And as they come to you wanting to speak of what you know they do not want,
mm-hmm.
close your ears to it. Help them to see that what they are speaking and thinking is what they are getting. If you can help the others see the correlation, the absolute correlation, for there is not one shred of evidence anywhere in your universe, in your physical dimension, that defies this.
Mm.
If you can help them to see that what they speak and what they think is what they are getting,
mm-hmm.
you will be of great advantage to them.
Hmm.
As friends, often you are wanting to be that sounding board. You say, I'm wanting to be there for my friend. But as you are there, listening to them speak of what they do not want, you are assisting them in their attracting of what they do not want. And so you might say, friend, hear your words. Is that what you want? And as they say, of course not, then say to them, then let us not talk about it. For our words are powerful.
Mm.
The more we speak about it, the more we attract it.
So we're not doing ourselves or the other person any favor when we call a friend and tell them our problems or something we're concerned with or upset about.
Indeed not. Speak to others about what pleases you. And speak to no one, not even to yourself, about what does not please you.
Good. That's very good. What could cause a person to repeatedly attract relationships or experiences that bring them pain, anger, or frustration to the degree that they finally end the relationship, but then they soon find themselves engaged in another relationship with the same negative sort of conditions? And how could that pattern be changed?
The reason that it happens is because they continue to remember. even though that relationship is gone, mm-hmm. they continue to think about it, and by law of attraction, they attract another that is like it. The way to avoid that is to think of what is wanted instead of what is not wanted.
Just change the direction of the thought.
Indeed.
To the wanted.
And you do that by paying attention to the way that you feel. You are habit-seeking beings, and there are many patterns of thoughts. You fall into those habitual patterns easily. And so it takes a little bit of effort in the beginning to change a thought.
Well, that starts from childhood. In other words, so how much influence do childhood relationships with their parents or with their keepers have on that child's adult life? And are these children doomed to repeat the painful failures or the joyous successes of their parents?
They're not doomed to it, mm-hmm. although many do it.
Yeah, I know.
There is a tendency to continue to regurgitate the old thoughts, the old habits, the old ways. And as they do, they create or recreate in their own experience again and again more of the same. You see, life experience is of great value, for through it you become wiser. And sometimes, as you become older, you say, well, if there is one thing I learned from that, it is that I don't want it anymore. And while you say it sometimes in fun, there is great value to recognizing what you do not want. But holding your attention upon what you do not want does not free you from it. Instead, recognizing what you do not want and letting it assist you in focusing upon what you do want, and then thinking about what you do want, is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of understanding that everything in your experience comes to you by your invitation of thought and word and action. And so it is a matter of thinking more and more in every day about what you do want, and then using your willpower, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There have been many wise beings upon your earth, guiding you toward much that we are guiding you toward today.
Mm-hmm.
All of this conversation we've had regarding this topic, regarding the business of inner being and warning bells and guidance system, could have been shortened to one phrase: seek joy.
Mm-hmm.
For as you are seeking that positive emotion, then you will discover very quickly that when you think of what you don't want, you don't get it, but you get negative emotion. And when you think of what you do want, you do get it. And so there are some who discover, even without the wisdom of an Abraham, that when they give their thought to that which they want, they bring forth the power of the universe in a positive way. There are many who discover it, but there are many more who do not.
That would make sense. Since a person doesn't usually, at least consciously, choose their parents or their siblings or their co-students or their in-laws or their co-workers, and they're not usually drawn to those individuals because of some pre-existent harmony, then how would you suggest that they could continue in those relationships that appear, let's say, inherently disharmonious, and still maintain a positive personal experience?
Every experience will be better once you begin looking for things that you want. In other words, have you ever had an experience where you met with someone? It might be someone you know very well. It might be someone you were just meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But as you had this encounter, when it was over, you say to another, I do not know why I behaved in that way. That
right.
is not who I am. I don't know what came over me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you what came over you, the influence or expectation of the other. Because you were not clear about who you are and what you wanted to be, because you were not positively expectant, because you were not looking for what you wanted to see, you saw something you did not want to see, and by the power of their influence and by your own lackadaisical attitude, you became that which you are not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our point is this: you may uplift all who interact with you to being harmonious with you, if you will look for those points of harmony and focus upon them. For as your friends see you see them, they will show you more of them. We are not saying that it is instantaneous. But as you stop looking for things you don't want and begin looking for things you do want, you will develop a sort of habit. What you will soon find is that those who are inherently not in harmony with you will begin to escape your life experience, while you will begin attracting those who are inherently in harmony mm-hmm. with you.
So, the child is influenced by the parent, but it doesn't have to be a continuing influence on through the rest of the child's adult life. That's an individual decision on the part of the child who's now an adult.
Or lack of decision in most cases. As we said earlier, there are two primary hindrances to your deliberate creating, or to the child's deliberate creating. One is influence of others. The other is influence of their own habits. But the answer for the child, or for anyone who is wanting to be deliberate in their creating, is to think about what they want. Mm-hmm. To give more thought to your wanting to live happily ever after. To give more thought to what you are wanting to be or do or have 10 years from now. To think about tomorrow. Indeed, when you get up in this day, to think about today. When you get in your automobile, to think about the safety of this journey. And as you are deliberate in your long-range segments, in your medium-range segments, even in the segment that is this moment, you will be more deliberate in your attracting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what you experience comes to you by accident or by default. You do it. We are not saying you do not do it. That is ordinarily the greatest resistance that we receive when we begin to talk to a new student about deliberate creating. They will say, Abraham, why can you say that I am creator of my experience? Certainly I would not have created this mess. I do not want it. And we say, we did not say you did it intentionally.
Right.
We said you did it through your thoughts, because you do not understand the laws.
There are numbers of adults who today have trauma, problems in their lives, and they quote the problem as being caused by their parents' influence. And of course, as long as they do that, of course, they'll keep rehashing that, won't they? And they'll continue to experience the problem.
That is a wonderful example, for it points out what we are wanting you to understand regarding most of your negative thought. Those parents usually are not there now.
That's true.
Or if they are, it is in very small segments.
Mm-hmm.
A very small percentage of your life is spent with those parents, and yet you still allow that relationship to clutter or make you feel pain now.
And it need not.
Indeed not. It is there because of your attention to it. Take your attention from it and it will not be. You
mm-hmm.
see, have you ever had the experience where there was something great in your life that was troubling you very much? It seemed so important and it seemed so terrible that you could not take your thoughts from it,
yeah.
It seemed. But you did find some sort of distraction. You
right.
went to sleep, or you went to a movie, or you thought about something else,
sure.
and suddenly you are taken up short by the awareness that you were not having pain for a few moments. Indeed, you almost feel guilty, for you feel that you should have that pain. What we are saying to you is that as you give your attention to other things, you will not feel the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the key to positive, deliberate creating.
Good. Thank you.
Some would say, Abraham, you mean we should put our head in the sand? We say, if it gives you some form of distraction from negative creating, it can be of value.
Thank you.
If you are sensitive to your warning bells, you will never reach the place of that great despair, for you will avoid focusing upon any little negative to the point that it becomes greater and greater and greater and greater.
Well, the tendency, my experience in the years gone by, was to try to fix the problem. I kept thinking, if I can think about it enough, I can get it fixed. But it seemed like it just increased.
If you are wanting to fix the problem, give your attention to the solution.
Mm-hmm.
When you are looking at solution, you are feeling positive.
Good.
When you are looking at problem, you are feeling negative.
Mm-hmm.
Just as when you are looking at what you want, you are feeling positive, while when you are looking at what you need, you are feeling negative. As you focus upon the lack of what you want, you will feel negative emotion. As you focus upon the subject of what you want, mm-hmm. you will feel positive emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It seems almost the same thing. That is why your emotion helps you to know.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel good, you are helping. When you feel bad, you are hurting. When you feel good, you are positively creating. When you feel bad, you are negatively creating.
You almost never, you never speak to us of love. You mention the word love from time to time. But yet, the word love is a dominant word in our cultural experience. How do you see mankind in general in relation to this label that we use as love?
Mankind in general is confused about what it is and uses it as a form of control rather than experiencing the joy of what it really is. Love is a positive emotion. It is one of the more extreme positive emotions. When you love another, it is you are focused upon that which you like in another, and your inner being is offering you positive emotion, telling you that you are in harmony, that what you are speaking, thinking, or acting is in harmony with what you are wanting. The mother who is angry at the little one for spilling something upon the carpet, who is angrily picking the little one up and saying, "I love you, but," is not saying what is in that moment, for you cannot feel negative and positive emotion at the same time. Now, of course, what the mother is saying is that there is nothing that you could do that would make me withdraw my love from you, for I am wanting to love you. But we say love is not that sort of thing. Love is an emotion of the moment. All emotions come forth in the moment. Hear this. They come forth in the moment in response to what you are thinking or what you are speaking or what you are doing, you see. As you focus upon what you are wanting, by law of attraction, you will see more and more and more. And so those relationships where you feel most love are those relationships where you have the ability to see. So often, as physical beings, you are looking for love from others. And when you do not find it, you think it is your deficiency. It is not your deficiency, my friends. It is the deficiency of the other. For it is their ability to see what they like which brings forth the feeling of love within them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do not see it in you, it is not your flaw. It is not your lack. It is theirs, you see.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, I have one final question for this cassette tape. And that is, why do some people cling to painful relationships? And is there any point of pain at which you would advise a person to seek a separation from the negative relationship?
Whenever there is pain, we would advise a separation from the pain. That does not mean you must separate yourself from the relationship. It means you must separate yourself from the thought that is bringing forth the pain.
Mm-hmm.
If the pain is coming forth because another is physically abusing or because they are verbally abusing, then perhaps physical separation is the only answer. But if it is coming about because of your remembering of what was said, then we would encourage you to simply give more thought to what you are wanting, and you will find in very short order that you have brought about a great change in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Some cling to that which is painful because they have not taken the time to identify more than one intention, or because they do not understand that they have the ability to attract that which they want through the power of their thought and word.
Mm-hmm.
So many feel vulnerable or victim, and it is not that way. For all comes to you by your invitation of thought. When we say they are not clear about all of their intentions, we mean sometimes one wants companionship so much that they will say, "I do not really care who it is, I'm just wanting someone." And in the beginning, that someone is satisfying because that someone satisfies their one and only intention, which is to be with someone.
Right.
But as they are with that someone, and that is now no longer a need, now they are looking for something else, but they know not what. In closing, we would say to you, if you are wanting to be the deliberate creator of your life experience, to look around every day through the data which is your life experience for those things that you want to be or do or have. And then take time in every day, 10 or 15 minutes is enough, where you can go to a quiet place and think about those things, putting them together in different combinations, just as a chef would mix together ingredients in a kitchen. And as you bring forth clear image of what you are wanting, your inner being will add the power of the universe through emotion. And so as you come out of it saying, I have a very good idea of what I am wanting, you will have launched that creation, and then your work is to look for evidence of it appearing in your life everywhere you go. And as the evidence is near you, your inner being will signal you as to that as well, for you will receive powerful positive emotion when you are near that which is in harmony with what you are wanting. It is with great appreciation that we have interacted here upon this recording. We've appreciated your questions very much. And it is our knowing that for all who seek answers regarding creation, regarding deliberate creation, regarding co-creation, they will find their answers here if they are looking for them. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.